Mag je vanmorgen? Baie dankie vir die bereidheid, Pastor Jan.
Morning, everyone. You can see it's a winter morning, but I think you're going to receive enough heat this morning to keep you going for the winter. I think we're in a time where we all know that it's the celebration of the Pentecost, and it's a yearly thing, and the Lord just showed me as I was preparing this week that Pentecost should be every day in your life. And why should we miss out to just receive what God wants to shower on us only once a year? I think it's God's desire this morning for each and everyone here to experience the outpouring of His Spirit, what they call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? He wants to empower us to be victorious and to be unshakable in this very serious, difficult times that we live in. We live in difficult times. We can see it's like the end times. We know it. But we live as if we've got 1,000 years left. You see, baptism equips and empowers us to be what, first of all? To be witnesses to Jesus. And we can read that Jesus explained this power in Acts 1:8 when he says, just before he ascended into heaven, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and into the ends of the earth. You see, the baptism of, I think there's so many disputes. People are quarreling about what's the right, how do you do, what's the right key to be baptized. And I think I was fighting with the Lord during this week as well, because for once and for all, I understand what the key is. But before I get to the key, Joel came in the Old Testament, he prophesied in Joel 2 verse 28 to 29. And he speaks of God's pouring out His Spirit in the last days. And he says there, God speaks here. He says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. But do we see it in the church today? You see, there's confirmation 43 times in the Bible of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Some of the scriptures, I'll read one, Isaiah 32:15. It says, until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is deemed a forest. And then you can see in Acts 2 that we will look today, Isaiah 44. I said there's 43 other places, scriptures in the world where that describes this extraordinary, amazing experience of the outpouring of the Spirit. Have you yet experienced it? You see, there's so many Christians today that have not experienced this amazing thing to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's actually heartbreaking. But first I want to look at the promises. Where does it come from? There's two promises. The first promise was in Matthew 3:11, when John the Baptist came and he said, I'm baptizing you with water as a token of repentance. But the one who's coming after me is stronger than me. I'm not worth carrying his sandals. He will come and baptize you in the Spirit and in fire. You see, and Jesus came and he confirmed this in Acts 1:4 and 5, and he said, while he was still with him, he said, don't leave Jerusalem yet. Wait for the promise of my Father that I just told you. So that Jesus have told them this already. And in 5, he says, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit a few days from now. And this is today, that few days, 10 days after his ascension. You see, both promises of John and Jesus was fulfilled. And I want to read this morning for us in Acts 2, 1-4. When the day of the Pentecost was being celebrated, all of them were in one accord. They were together in the upper room, devoting themselves to what? To prayer. To prayer. Suddenly there was a sound, a roaring sound of a rushing wind that was filling this whole room. Can you imagine that? Even the people outside experienced what was happening inside this room. It must have been a thundering a sound that you've never heard before. And he filled the whole house. And while they were sitting there, they saw tongues like flames of fire that was separate for each and every person received the flame. You see, that outpouring, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is not always where there's a corporate meeting. You see, it's a special, it's an intimate relationship with the Lord where you receive your fire from the Lord. And it rested on them. And all of them, it says there, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, which we know, one of the signs of being baptized is to speak in tongues. And if you look at the word filled and to be baptized in spirit, they are equally. There's no difference between them. Now, there's an issue that arises. I think I've spoken last year sometime about it. There was the disciples. Were they saved? Where in the Bible do we read that the disciples were saved? We read there in John 20, from 22. You can read there and you will see him. And Jesus was standing there and Jesus told them, he said, he breathed upon them and they received the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit. And that moment when that happened, that was conviction of sin. That was repentance. That's in that moment they became newborn when they received the Spirit, when he breathed it. But then he didn't say, Jesus didn't say, now that was bad. He said, we will see later on that he says that you will be baptized with the Spirit a few days from now. So many of us believe the obvious. And we believe that the obvious thing we read is usually the correct meaning. But it's not so. Because we sometimes go, we try to find something that's hidden between the scriptures and not just read it for what it is. I always say that God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. You see, I think it's obvious and understanding that they received the Spirit here. I mean, there's nothing written in the books there of, was there any supernatural experience of speaking in tongues or anything? No, there wasn't. But I tell you, imagine Jesus is here this morning and he breathes upon us. Something must have happened. Even if it's not written down, something must have happened. So we know that they were only baptized with the Holy Spirit, but on the day of the Pentecost. But they received the Spirit when Jesus blew on them. Now we're going to do a tour through the book of Acts this morning. It's so interesting. I'm excited. When you read in Acts 2 from 37 to 39, and I'm not going to read the scripture as it is always. I took short notes out of it. Now, Peter had preached here to those who was gathered after this supernatural event where the tongues of fire came on all of them, each one of them. After this, there was a lot of people that heard and saw this. So Peter, in Acts 2, 37 to 39, preached to those who was gathered after this event of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they were convicted of sin. And they said, brothers, what shall we do, seeing that we have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, and here comes Peter and he answers them. He said that every one of you must repent and be baptized in the name of of Jesus, the Messiah, for the forgiveness of your sin. Then you will receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. Can you see what happens here? Receive the Holy Spirit after repentance, after receiving Jesus Christ. There is a baptism. But there's a threefold command here. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. And then thirdly, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is what baptism is. It's a gift. God wants to empower you. He wants to empower you this morning for your ministry because each one of us has got a calling in our life. There's a dark world out there. And we're trying to take on spiritual, supernatural powers with the flesh. And we get nowhere. We're tiring ourselves. Why not receive the weaponry of God to receive the supernatural, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that He can equip and empower us for our ministry? And herewith, Peter was speaking, we see here that the repentance, the experience of baptism in the Holy Spirit also came after repentance. So if we read that, it becomes actually obvious. Okay, right. So there's repentance, I give my life to Jesus, there's water baptism, and then there's the Holy Spirit. Let's go on to Acts 8. We find here Philip. Now, Philip had gone to Samaria as a result. This, I think, was just before he spoke to the Ethiopian. He went there because, as a result of the persecution of the Christians in that area, and he was preaching the true gospel to the people. And many start believing the preaching and what he preached about the kingdom of God and about Jesus Christ. And they say that people came to Christ and both men and women were baptized with water. And then we read later on, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the gospel, they sent Peter and John so they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now it's different here again. The gift of the Holy Spirit wasn't just poured out on these people. John and Peter were sent to go there. And they went down in Acts 8, verse 15 and 16, we read that they went down and prayed and laid hands on them so they might receive the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. So see, after, so now we read here, so it's repentance, receiving Jesus, water baptism, and then the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now just before I go on, it's so interesting in the Greek, when you speak about the Holy Spirit as the Parakletos, but there's, whenever we read with the Spirit is with you, the word there is para, part of Parakletos. And para means he shall be with you. And then en, e, you speak it in, but it's en, it's in you. And then will you receive the power when he comes upon you, the epi. There's a upon. So there's the three different things that are happening here. So they had the with when they were convicted, they were converted, and then they received the within Spirit as they were baptized in the name of Jesus. But they had not yet experienced the overflowing or baptism with the Holy Spirit. So we read, Peter and John prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Spirit, and they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. But there's no evidence again here in the Bible of any supernatural manifestations that we sometimes so much run after. If I don't fall on the ground, if I don't start screaming, if I don't do this, if I don't... It's not happening. There's nothing written here. But I believe definitely that there was power. Something happened there. And you can read further in Acts 8 and 9 there, because you will see that Simon the sorcerer was following him. And he... I tell you now that he would have not offered to purchase this power if he didn't see any manifestations, because the sorcery is all about showing. So I believe there was acts of power when the Spirit came upon the people. Then we read in Acts 9, we read that Paul, who was then known as Saul of Tarsus, was on his way to Damascus to imprison those who were calling on the name of the Lord. Suddenly there was a bright light. And this happened at noon. I mean, the sun was at almost 12 o'clock. And then Paul, and the light was even sharper, the Bible says, than the noon sun. And then Paul fell on the ground and he heard the voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul, or Saul, responded. He said, who are you, Lord, that I might serve you? And then the answer came, I am Jesus of Nazareth. And then he asked again, what would you have me to do? Then Acts 9:6. Now it's clear here for me that Paul was converted the moment that he submitted himself to Jesus there. He was saved. But the Lord told him to go into Damascus, and he will show him where to go and what he will do. Blind and being led into the house of a man called Judas in a street called Straight. It was the main street of that town. He was led into his house, and in that same street there was another man called Ananias. Now, Ananias was a disciple. He was not an apostle, he was a disciple. Then the Lord appeared to him in a vision, and he told him that he was to go to the street Straight. Then he must ask for a certain man's soul of Tarsus. The Lord said, at this moment, he is busy praying. At first, Ananias was arguing with the Lord and was hesitant. He said, Lord, but do you know who this Paul is? This Paul is persecuting, he's killing the Christians, come on. And after the Lord pursued him, he went and he said to Paul, Brother Paul, the Lord Jesus had appeared to you on your way. He sent me to you that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, we see Paul's baptism in the Holy Spirit came after his conviction on his way to Damascus. So he was not yet baptized in water. He was not yet baptized in water. In Acts 10, we read, Peter had been called by the Lord to go to Caesarea, to the house of the centurion, whose name was Cornelius. And Peter began to share with those gathered the truth of Jesus Christ. Acts 10, 44 to 48. And we read that while he was still sharing the Holy Spirit, The Spirit, he was sharing the word. The Holy Spirit just fell on all who were hearing the word. And all the believers came to Peter there and they said, what happening? Because they couldn't believe that even on the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit was poured. Because they knew it, because they could. The Bible says that they heard him speaking in tongues and magnifying God. So here we can clearly see the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out after hearing and believing. In verse 48, they realized that it was all right to baptize the Gentiles, and Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they were only baptized. So here the outpouring of the Spirit, the baptism, happened before the baptism in water, but it appeared that this event was that they received Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the same time. Now Peter had to explain. He was brought to the church, and here was on the red carpet, because they wanted to know, how is this possible that the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles? And in Acts 11:15, Peter said, when I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he was first given to us in the upper room. I had nothing to do with this. Please, this was God. In verse 16 and 17, and when this happened, then I remembered, it's written there, the words of Jesus, John indeed baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Peter here explains what happened to him, and it was nothing. He said, "Too done with me, Lord." And here we can see as well the gift, the baptism, and filled with the Holy Spirit are all describing the same supernatural event. Now let's go to Acts 19, verse 1 to 6. Paul had come to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, it's written. So it was disciples that were following Jesus. But Paul noted there was something lacking. There was something different in their experience and relationship with God. And I want to speak just a little bit about that. Something was missing. So many times I meet Christians, and so many times in my own life I experience this, that I speak as a believer, but my face, my actions do not speak of the truth. What is your experience? My experience sometimes, I cannot believe how negative Christians are. I see the world, they're having joy going on, and Christians sit and they complain. They're negative, they're judgmental, they're unforgiving, and have so much anger towards the world. There was a lack of love. Look at Christians, they're unkind and critical. There's no zeal and eagerness in their experience. They don't hunger more for God. And that's when we find ourselves in that dangerous place of being in a comfort zone. And that's the playing field of the enemy. It's called the arena of the comfort zone. See, if you read in Acts 19:2, did you receive the Holy Spirit? He asked them then, okay, wait a minute. So you say that you have been saved, but did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? What he meant is that almost what happened to Peter. So the moment that you believed, were you baptized, or how did it work? And they answered him in Acts 19, the B part of 2. No, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul answered them, you have believed, but you did not receive the Holy Spirit? They were totally uninformed. Holy Spirit, what is that? They asked him. And Paul said, well, how were you baptized? What he means here, he was asking about Jesus' command to the disciples in Matthew 28:19 to go into the whole world and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mean, almost a blueprint of the baptism that Jesus said. They answered, no, we were baptized with John's baptism. So they were not baptized in the name of Jesus. So further we read in Acts 19, we read that when Paul had laid his hand upon him, the Holy Spirit came upon them. That epi I was speaking about came upon them. And they spoke with tongues and they start prophesying. So again, it was an experience that came after their believing and their conversion. But let's just look quickly to the experiences that we just read now. We see a variety here. In Acts 2, that I started over, they were all sitting there when suddenly there was a noise, a rushing wind, and the fire flames was on top of them, and they were filled. And they started speaking in other languages. Acts 8, the gift of the Holy Spirit was imparted by laying on of the hands by Paul and John. It is interesting that it wasn't done by Philip. However, with John, with Paul, when he was Saul, it was done by a disciple called Ananias. But here, it wasn't done by Philip. It was done by Peter and John. It is interesting that however they were baptized in the Spirit, there's no record here as well of any supernatural manifestations accompanying the baptism. But this cannot be ruled out, as I said, with Simon the sorcerer. Acts 9, the Holy Spirit was imparted to Paul by the average believer Ananias. And then, what's interesting, when Paul was baptized in the Spirit, healing of blindness happened at the same time. And there's no supernatural speaking in tongues as well. However, Paul comes in 1 Corinthians 14, 18 and 19, where he says to the Corinthians, where he written about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he declared that he did speak in tongues more than all of them. So he did speak in tongues. So he was healed of his blindness. And then after that, in that same verse you will read, and he was baptized by Ananias. So Paul saw the light, he received Jesus Christ, then he was baptized with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then he received the baptism in the water. And then in Acts 10, Peter did not get a chance even to lay hands on the people. Suddenly, the message was interrupted, as I said, by the outpouring of the Spirit of God onto all of them. And they were filled with the Spirit. Paul, when he went to Ephesus, again, he laid hands on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So none of the above will agree with me. None of the above experiencing of being baptized in the Holy Spirit was the same or identical. The closest was perhaps the experience in the house of Cornelius when Peter was there, when the Spirit just fell upon everyone in that house. But, however, there was no rushing wind. There was no flames. Different. Why is this? Because God is God. And God can do things the way He wants to do things. We should not run after, desire after. When we see people sometimes, people speak in tongues or they pray so amazingly to the Lord in the Spirit in tongues, we try and copycat that. I've seen so many copycats in churches. Don't do that. Find your own. Find your own intimate moment that I always say that broom bush moment that Moses had. You need to find that where you receive the fire of the Holy Spirit. But see, we chase after for the same kind of experience of another. And that's a very great danger in church today. Because God deals with each one of us differently. Differently. Have you seen a father with his children? There's a specific way that he speaks to his daughter as when he speaks to his son. It's a different way of interacting with his four-year-old child than he's interacting with a six-month-old baby. Why? Because he can't buy a steak with his four-month-old baby. And that's the same with our spiritual life. This is what God does with us as well. Some of us is newborn Christians. We're still babies. And therefore, we don't understand this. And when we see this supernatural thing happens in church, when we go to these outreaches, we say, Lord, I want that. Why don't I get that? And I don't get that, and I fall back. Many Christians fall back and say, listen, there's no such thing. This is all a lie. Because I chase after the experience of somebody else. You see, God doesn't deal with us the same. He takes our nature, our temperament, where you are at the moment, spiritually. All those things are taken in consideration. You see, we can't prescribe to God how we want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Describe and say, listen, the Lord can lead you and say, listen, go to the pastor, go to one of the elders in the church and ask him to lay hands on you. That is scriptural. You can't do that. You see, there's many people that testified of amazing experiences. And you know what? I accept all of their testimonies. I cannot say because it's a personal experience. You know, Finley, who was he's the father of revivalism. He described it as waves of liquid of love that just started pouring over him, pouring over him, and it didn't stop. Then he screamed out later, God, stop, I cannot take it anymore. Amazing. But it might not be your experience. It might not be your experience. So don't be demoted or not motivated to do that because you don't have the experience that somebody else have. So it doesn't mean if you didn't have the same experience that I did, that God is not working with you, that you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there's certain things that need to happen in your life. You will not be part of those Christians I was speaking of that's always complaining, negative, always looking at the bad things of life, always arguing. There will be something different in you. Because if you've baptized with the Holy Spirit, there will come a change within you. You will not be able, because that armor that you will have, it's almost like an armor that comes upon you, will almost drag you to full the fullness of what God wants in your life. So I never discount any experience of others. All I'm saying, search your own experience with the Lord. Search your own experience. Because if you don't do that, if you're going to look at a particular experience, this is the nugget I want to give you, is to put your faith in the experience rather than in the promise of the Word of the God. When you do this, you put your faith in the experience rather than the promise of God's Word. You see, this is why God shows us in the book of Acts that there's a variety, there's different types of experiences of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this was a revelation to me this week. I read all these things, but I've never seen it like this. But Lord, thank you. I'm going to ask now, and this is, I want you to sit like this, just bow your heads. I'm going to just ask to put on a song and play maybe just a minute or so, just to play it, if you can put it on for me. Because God wants you to experience this morning the power of the outpouring of His Spirit in your own personal way. You see, God says, I'm not bound to a formula. Come on, ask God this morning for your epi encounter with Him. To be totally open to whatever and however God wants to work in your life. Don't seek after that sensation. Don't do that. Don't look for a particular gift right now. Don't look for a particular reaction or response this morning. Don't do that.
Sing out.
Focus on your heart. Open your heart this morning and let it rain. Let the Spirit just rain upon you this morning. I can feel it in the house this morning. There's a shift in the atmosphere. There's a shift in the atmosphere. Just be open. Open your heart and let God do the work. Let God do it. That's your front end of heaven. Just open. Some people are standing. Some people are falling to the ground. Doesn't matter. Find your own way. Let the Spirit lead you. Because it doesn't even matter. You can lay on your bed right now. Be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Just open your heart this morning. As Peter, in the house of the Lord, just pour out your name. Unannounced, just pour out your spirit this morning. No man is controlled. I cannot pull down the supernatural. I cannot, by speaking words, do anything. You do this morning. Just pour out. Let the words rain upon your congregation this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we know that the key to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, Lord, is to open our hearts and to be hungry enough this morning for you, Lord. I want to be hungry. Hungry for you this morning, Lord. Hungry for your Spirit. Just pour out your Spirit on us today. This church must never be the same after this, Lord. I prophesy this morning, Lord. I speak with us the truth over this congregation this morning. Yes, Lord, let the Spirit bear witness of the truth in our hearts, Lord.
The Lord reigns.
Yes, Lord.
Let the earth be glad.
Yes, thank you.
Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness
surround
him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim His righteousness.
Yes, Lord, we proclaim it this morning. We proclaim it. Wherever you sit in your seat, just proclaim it this morning for Jesus. Just proclaim it. Proclaim it and receive it. You believe, so receive this morning that God wants to impart in your life. You will never be the same. You can't be the same after this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you're offering this to us this morning. And that's all that we need. And all we need to do is to reach out and receive. So we receive this morning, Lord. Lord, we are hungry enough. We make us hungry. Make us thirsty this morning, Lord. We want to desire more of you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What God tells me this morning is He says that the amount of blessings pouring out on you with the Spirit this morning is depending on how hungry you are for Him this morning. If you're very hungry, take 4 slices of the living bread this morning. Why not? That's for free. It's for free. Father, we need. Can we all just rise this morning? You can just keep the song playing. It's fine. Just rise up this morning. Everyone, please. Father, we need you. We desire. We long for your power this morning, Lord. Thank you for those who received the power this morning. And maybe for those who still long, Lord, we long. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are opening our hearts, Lord, to receive that power, that dunamis power this morning, Lord, to be what you want us to be. Lord, we come and we thank you that you have promised that if we ask anything according to your will, then we will have that and we will see those things that we've asked for. We come before you this morning with an open heart, Lord. We are hungry for you so we can receive all that you have for me. You say in your word that your Spirit is a good gift. That if I ask, I want to be filled and overflowed with the Spirit, Lord. Lord Jesus, please let your Spirit come upon me this morning and baptize me now in the Holy Spirit. We know that it's your will, Lord, that we will be filled with the Spirit because it's your command. And thus, Lord, we ask this in your mighty name that we might receive it this morning. Corporately, let's receive it. But individually, let each and every person just bow before you this morning and receive his part of that fire of the baptism this morning. We seek that, Lord, that we might find that power. And as you work, Lord, in your own sovereign, special way, we may be open and may we receive that even at this moment, Lord. Thank you for filling us, for empowering us to live a victorious life, Lord, and to be witnesses for you throughout the world. I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the ability to speak with other tongues, Lord. As you give me the utterance, we come this morning, Lord. We ask that in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe you can just put on that song and we can just sing a few verses. Is that okay? Is that okay? As they're finding the song, you stand there this morning, there's healing in your body that you need. We saw with Paul, when he was Saul, when he was baptized, when he received the outpouring of the Spirit, the scales fell from his eyes and he was no more blind. Let it just rain upon you this morning, Lord. Lord, be glorified let this morning. Yes, Lord, let it rain.
Open the floodgates of heaven.